Christmas the last few days, and no doubt there's been a lot of feasting going on. And so now it's time to talk about fasting. You know, there's never a convenient time to fast, and certainly not after you've been having all these celebrations. But I do think that at the beginning of a new year is a wonderful time to set aside some days to really seek the Lord and make preparation for a new year. So we're going to read some verses in Isaiah 58. If you want to look there with me, Isaiah 58. This is probably the most common scripture text as it relates to fasting and prayer. But there's some really important themes right here in this text, Isaiah 58, verse number 1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? And wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. As I said, there's never a convenient time to fast. But I do believe it's an important thing and a biblical pattern that we need to take full attention to, give full attention to what the scripture has to say about seeking the Lord with prayer and fasting. And maybe some of you have never really done this before, and you're thinking, how could I ever do that? How could I ever set aside days or meals and actually not eat, but pray and fast and seek the Lord? Well, I do believe that there are a lot of situations in our lives right now where we're not content with going on like we have been going. We want to see change. We want to see something different than the way that things have been going. And if that's really your heart today, then I'm convinced this very well may be exactly what you need to do, and that we corporately as a body, we need to call on the Lord. There's this clear link in the scripture to prayer with fasting that unlocks heaven's doors. It unlocks heaven's doors. And it shuts the gates of hell whenever we call upon the Lord and we seek the Lord with prayer and fasting. I think that the Bible is very clear. There are just certain things that are not going to happen unless we pray and fast. There are certain bondages. There are certain strongholds that are just not going to come down unless we are willing to seek the Lord with prayer and fasting. Remember the desperate dad that came to Jesus and he said, my son, he's afflicted and there's these demonic forces that are throwing him into the fire, throwing him into the water. What can I do? I brought him to your disciples. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't help him. And the Bible says that Jesus said, in this case, this instance, only certain things are going to happen if you pray and fast. Howbeit, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. Which just lets us know there are certain prayers that you've prayed again and again and again. And this is not going to happen until you also seek the Lord with prayer and fasting. So if you're really serious about your walk with the Lord, and you're serious about walking in obedience to the word of the Lord, then you're going to see a pattern throughout the scripture how that God used different people when they sought the Lord with prayer and fasting. Now, I understand what a physical challenge it is. It really is. And I've known a few people over the years, personally, my mother being the main one that I knew, who fasted often. She fasted regularly. My mother went on one 40-day fast that I know of. She went on several 21-day fasts with mainly just juice and water over those long periods. But she sought the Lord. I'm convinced that myself, that my brothers, that a lot of our family that are serving the Lord today, it's because of a mother that prayed and fasted all those many years. She invested just quietly, privately. You know, most of you know my dad was not a Christian all those years. And she would cook the meals, prepare the meals for the family, and then just quietly slip away from the table and go into to the back room. And it was like my dad didn't like it. He was uncomfortable with it. But because he knew that she was praying for him. And he knew that he was the target that she was praying for. And it took many years and much dedication in prayer and fasting. But as many of you know, my dad came to the Lord just in the few weeks before he passed away. He got saved. Praise God. It was because of a mom that knew how to seek the Lord with prayer and fasting. Moses fasted 40 days. Elijah fasted 40 days. Jesus fasted 40 days. Esther fasted 3 days. Paul, 3 days. The Bible says that Paul fasted often. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. David fasted 7 days. Daniel fasted 21 days, eating no pleasant bread. He ate some things, but you're familiar with the Daniel fast, that he fasted those 21 days. And then in the scripture, there were group fasts or corporate fasts. The whole nation of Israel were many times called to a national fast. And even in the New Testament, the church, you can look in the book of Acts and you'll see that they would have a corporate fast for the entire body, for all of the church. And it was the very thing that brought about a great move of God as they sought the Lord. Remember the story of Jonah? Jonah, even the kids know the story of Jonah, called by God to go to preach to the Ninevites, to go to Nineveh and to preach to that great city. Instead of obeying God, he ran the other direction. And just as an aside, if you run away from the voice of God, it's always going to be a downward path. You're going away from the Lord, it's going to be not good, not good. And so he went down to Joppa. He went down into the ship. He went down into the bottom of the sea. He went down into the belly of the whale. He went down into the lowest parts of the sea. And finally, he cried out to God, "Save me, Lord. Okay, I'll go preach to the Ninevites." He hated the Assyrians, and Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrians, and he hated that whole empire. They were wicked and vile, and he despised them, and he didn't want them to repent. But the Bible says he finally agreed to obey the voice of the Lord. And the Lord sent him to Nineveh. He was the reluctant evangelist. He didn't want to be there. When you read the book of Jonah, he wasn't even happy after they repented. I mean, he was, and all he preached was an 8-word message. He walked from one end of the city to the other end of the city with an 8-word sermon. I mean, he just didn't really care what was going to happen to them. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was it. That was his message. From one end of the city to the other. But the Bible says they heard it. They believed it. They heard the word of the Lord. And the king, who was a pagan, called a citywide fast. It's estimated that there were 600,000 people that lived in Nineveh at that time. He called a citywide fast. Everyone was to fast, including their animals. They couldn't even be fed or watered. And they fasted. And the city turned to God. And the judgment of God was turned away from Nineveh. Even the king said, "Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from the fierce anger that we perish not?" So even a wicked pagan king and a city that heard a message from a very reluctant evangelist, God used that prayer and fasting to turn the judgment of God away from that city. I can assure you that God can use you and I as a church group. So there is this evidence in the Word of God for a corporate fast. So as a leader, as a pastor, I can say, I believe this is something that we need to do as a church body. We need to do this. We need to call upon the Lord. Acts chapter 13, it says they were ministering to the Lord. They fasted, and the Holy Spirit said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I have called them." And when they fasted and prayed, and they laid their hands on them, and they went out. That was the beginning. That was from that experience of them fasting and praying as a corporate group there in Antioch, that they knew what to do, they got direction as they fasted and prayed on what to do, and then they sent them forth in the power of the Spirit. And that was the explosive growth of the church as it went all over the known world, and all of the missionary travels of the Apostle Paul with all of his traveling companions, it was as a result of a corporate fast that they called upon the Lord together. Now you may be saying, "Well, what is it possible to fast with a wrong motive or the wrong way?" Absolutely. You see that pattern all through the scripture. Ahab fasted with evil motives. The Jews fasted unto themselves, not unto the Lord. It was all selfishness. The Pharisees, Jesus condemned the Pharisees. He said, "You fast twice every week." They did it all to kind of appear like they were godly and spiritual. But Jesus rebuked them. It's possible to fast in a way that isn't pleasing to the Lord. But you can also fast in a way that has great power. Great power. And we need that. Just like the young dad who was dealing with his son that was being attacked by these demon forces. I think we all recognize we are living in an unprecedented times right now. With all the things that are happening in our world, in our nation, there's so much demon activity in our world today. And I'm not being mystical, I'm just being real. There's so much going on in our world right now. I mean, the only way that you can explain all that's happening with all of the, you know, young people having difficulty with, you know, an identity crisis and gender confusion and all of the things that are going on in the hearts of the of a younger generation today, it is just like that dad with his son that's being attacked. And he comes desperately to Jesus saying, "What can I do? What can be done? This can only change by prayer and fasting." So much of the confusion of this generation, it's not just going to straighten out. It's not just going to be something that you can work through the problems. There's going to have to be a move of God. There's going to have to be desperation in the hearts of men and women who call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Now from our text, Isaiah 58, there's some wonderful promises that are given here. First of all, there's the first few verses of our text that we read that condemns the religious leaders for the way that they were fasting. They were fasting out of selfishness. They were fasting to make a show of what they were doing. And but then he says, here's the fast that I've chosen. This is the fast that all the wicked bands would be broken, that there would be freedom, that strongholds would be broken, and people would be set free. And then the effect of it would be that you would stop mistreating and abusing people, and you would begin then, because what they would do is these religious leaders, that they were lording over people and abusing and mistreating the very people that they should have been ministering to. But the Bible says that, and Brother Darrell, if you could put verse 8 up, Isaiah 58 and verse number 8. That after effect is that then you begin to minister to them. Then you begin to clothe them. Then you begin to help them and serve them and care about people. That's going to be the effect of it. And when you do this, here are the four promises in Isaiah 58 and 9. Then shall thy light break forth as morning. That's illumination. Amen. You don't just read the Bible, but you understand it. You see what it means. You have illumination from God. God speaks to your present situation that you're in clearly. If you've ever gone through some days of prayer and fasting, one of the really the most wonderful thing about it is the Bible just becomes alive to you. You see things that you did not see before. The light breaks forth as the morning. There's this illumination of God's word, an understanding of what God is saying and what he's doing and his purpose in your life. And then it says, and your health will spring forth speedily. It's an interesting word there in the Hebrew that means restoration. Restoration. Then you would be restored. It's really the idea of a long-held struggle or affliction that finally breaks through and you're healed from that. You're delivered from that. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, or you know of people that have dealt with long-held struggles and problems, and you just can't seem to pray through it. You can't seem to work through it. But the effect and the promise is, if you fast according to the plan and the will of God, then there's illumination of God's word and understanding. And then your health breaks forth speedily. Then you finally see the answer break forth and the restoration come. And then it says, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Which is really talking about guidance. Guidance. Guidance, like the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night, the children of Israel depended upon this guidance of the Spirit to direct their steps, to lead them through the wilderness. And oh, how we need that. How we desperately need that. And so we seek the Lord with prayer
and fasting. We fast according to the word of the Lord. And when we do, then there is illumination. Then there is restoration. Then there is the guidance of the Spirit of God directing your steps. And then the fourth thing is that verse there that says, then shalt thou call and the Lord will answer. Matter of fact, then you'll pray and the Lord will answer, and you'll cry and the Lord will say, here I am. Amen. Amen. So it's an answer to prayer. It's the understanding that he's right with you, and you just can turn to him just like a friend and just say, Lord, this is my need. And he says, I'm here. I'm with you. I'll help you. I'll provide for you. Praise God. So biblical fasting provides a lot of wonderful benefits in our life. It's really the answer to a kind of a holy discontent that you may have in your heart. I want something more, God. I want things to change in my life. I want to move up. I want to step up. I want to get closer. Someone said biblical fasting is just hungering for more of Jesus. Hungering for more of Jesus. Really, biblical fasting is just setting aside physical appetites with a spiritual goal in mind. If you just fast without a spiritual goal, that's called starvation. That's all it is. If you're not praying and you don't have a spiritual goal in mind, that's the important thing. Lord, this is what I'm aiming for. This is my heart. This is my desire. And I'm fasting and praying because, Lord, this is the area of need that I have. So biblical fasting is setting aside those appetites so that you can focus on a spiritual goal to see God move in your life in some new and fresh way. Amen. So I believe that God is, he wants to call us as a church body to a time of prayer and fasting. So we have designated these days, the beginning next Sunday and throughout that week. And of course, I believe that fasting should be personal. It should be private. The Pharisees, and Jesus condemned Pharisees for the way they did it. They made it a big show of it. I mean, their faces were all gaunt, and they looked sad and gloomy, and they wanted everybody to know, I am really going through it because I'm fasting and praying. But Jesus said, no, don't do that. Wash your face. Don't go about with a public show of your spirituality, but instead do it privately. And the promise is when you do it privately, then God rewards you openly. God rewards you openly. And in Matthew 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, there's three different disciplines there that he talks to those disciples about. Three things. The first thing was when you give, You give privately. You don't make a show. The Pharisees, they blew trumpets and made a big display of their giving and their offering. He said, no, don't do a big public thing. Do it privately. Don't let your left hand know what the right hand is doing. Do it secretly. And then the promise is, God says, I'll reward you openly if you do this privately. That's in the area of giving. Did the same thing in the area of prayer. That's the second discipline. He said, if you pray, the Pharisees would go out on the street corner and make a big show. I'm praying and calling out to God. No, he said, don't do that. Don't pray like that. Go into your private place. Shut the door. And there, call upon the Lord. And again, the promise. You do it that way. You do it God's way. I will reward you openly. And then the third discipline there in Matthew 6 in the Sermon on the Mount is fasting. It's giving, it's prayer, it's fasting. And if you fast, and he said, don't make a big show of it, but go and fast privately. And when you do, God will reward you openly. Praise God. Amen. So that's the threefold discipline. It's the threefold cord that can't be easily broken. whenever you call upon the Lord with fasting and prayer. So I just am issuing you a challenge today as the church body to set aside some times next week as we begin the new year. What a wonderful way to start a new year is putting the Lord first. Amen. Let that first week be a week that you set aside and you give it to the Lord and you say, this week I'm gonna set my direction for the entire year with this first week, and I'm going to call upon the Lord. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek the Lord with my whole heart, and I'm going to do it to join in with the corporate body, the body of Christ, and believe that God then will, throughout the year, reward me openly. Amen. You'll see the evidence of it in your life throughout the year as you give him the first week of the year. So that's my challenge to all of you here today, to give God the first full week of the year in seeking the Lord with prayer and fasting. Amen. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Amen. I would just really love if everybody that's here today, if you would, just as a show of your heart toward the Lord in this next coming year, that you all, as many of you as, if you're not physically able to do this, but I'd like everybody just to come and stand here at the front of this building, just as a statement that this is what I want to do. I want to call on the Lord. I want to put the Lord first, and I want to give him the first week of my year to call upon the Lord. Amen. Those of you that are physically able to come and stand here at the front, and we're just going to, just together as a group, as a body, just take this time to make an agreement before God, a commitment before the Lord. Lord, this is my heart. This is what I want to see happen in my life in the coming new year as we commit our ways to the Lord. Praise God. Can we just pray together now? Father, I thank you, Lord, for every one of these, young and old, that have gathered here around this altar today. And Lord, we've got a new year just ahead of us. And no doubt many challenges, no doubt many opportunities. And Lord, we know that without you, many of these challenges, we can't meet them. But we know, Lord, that you have promised, Lord, that if we would seek you first, if we would put you first, then all these other things you would add to us. You'll provide for us, Lord, throughout this year if we'll just put you first. So, Lord, I just pray today for each one of these that are here around this altar area now that, Lord, as we commit our ways to you, as we commit this coming year to you, Lord, that you would open our eyes. Lord, that we would experience illumination and understanding, that we would experience, Lord, your mighty hand, answers to prayer in areas of our life, Lord, that have just been so difficult that we can't seem to see a breakthrough. But Lord, that you would bring understanding, that you would bring guidance, Lord, that you would direct our steps, Lord, every day throughout this year by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Direct us just like you led the children of Israel, Lord, through the wilderness journeys. Lord, we need guidance. We need direction. We need wisdom. So, Lord, I just pray, God, that you would just stir the hearts of your people here today. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence in this service today. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you would, just